setting the pace on the pursuit of happiness. This is The Ken Coleman Show, where you discover what you were born to do and how to make it happen. Now, helping you get unstuck and on the path to your dream job, America's career coach, Ken Coleman.
I am coming to you live from Ramsey Solutions Studios in Nashville, and you are joining a conversation about who you are, what you were created to do, where you want to do it, and how to get there. Every man and woman on the planet was created to fill a unique role. You are needed, and you must do it. In short, somebody out there needs you to show up and be the best version of you. So we're going to look at how to live and work on purpose with a heavy emphasis on working on purpose. Because if you're working on purpose, I can tell you that you're living on purpose. Life is too short to live for the weekend. And if you're sick and tired of being miserable on Monday mornings, then you're in the right place. 844-747-2577, the number. Let's go to Emily, who's on the line in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Emily, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. How are you?
I am living the dream, Emily. How can I help?
Good. So I've been using your proximity principle. I have your book and have learned a lot through it.
Thank you.
I am currently interviewing, wanting to get out of my current position. And how do I know, to be confident to know how much I'm worth in regards to wage? I am currently an administrative assistant at a country club, and there's several reasons why I want to leave. I'm bored. There's no room for growth, etc. Mm-hmm. And I just want to grow in my field, and I want to be able to gain obviously some more money with that.
So okay, good. Tell me what that looks like. When you say grow in your field, tell me what that looks like. Give me a 3 to 5 year fun projection and dream a little bit here. Don't hold back.
Sure. Taking on new tasks, more responsibility.
Okay. So a little bit more robust administrative assistant job. So essentially the company or the person that you're assisting, more influence, a lot right. more going on, which means you've got the same thing going on. Okay.
Right. I guess I'm, and maybe that's why I worry in this position, is that I don't feel that there's, how do you grow in administrative assistant work? I mean, it's kind of the same day-to-day things. You're helping, you know, be of assistance to maybe one or a few teammates, but yeah. then, you know, what's next?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what's next. It depends on the organization and the person, and then I would not limit yourself to just the administrative assistant role, and I'd really call that executive assistant. I think where you'd like to potentially go is the true executive assistant role, which is a game changer. It is not your mom's secretary job. You know what I mean? It's big time.
Right.
Let's just use an example. Let's just take somebody like a Dave Ramsey. I mean, Patty Harris has become a friend of mine. She's Dave's executive assistant. Let me tell you something. Patty's a powerful lady. She got a lot going on. Not only is she handling administrative scheduling details for Dave, which is a full-time gig in and of itself, but I mean, she speaks into so many things, and she's a filter for Dave on so many things, not just schedule, but manages so many different aspects of his life, works with the team. She's a Dave whisperer, if you will. So, I mean, you start to just have some fun with the idea of, if you're a high-performing executive assistant for a high-performing executive, there's going to be a lot of different facets to your job, to your day. And if that gets you mm-hmm. juiced up, that's what we're aiming for. And so once you move into those roles, let's just say right now in Sioux Falls, if you moved from this job at the country club to an executive assistant for an executive at a company in Sioux Falls, you're talking about more pay right out of the gate because of who you're working for and what you're doing.
Okay.
Is that what you want to do?
It is. I really enjoyed my current position when I first began, mm-hmm. But over the years, it's just dwindled. And I still like what I do, but like I said before, the few reasons why I want to leave. I had an interview this morning for an executive assistant position. It seemed like they were wowed by my resume and answers, and and so I just don't want to walk into that being, oh yeah, this is great, and then get into it and be like, oh, this is not what I want.
Yeah, but that's up to you. But that's up to you. So yeah. You get to, so next level. So you had a first good interview today. What are some mm-hmm. things that you didn't get answers to? Are there some things that pop in your mind and you said, you know what? I still want to know this, this, and this.
Not really. I had a plethora of questions, and they answered all of them pretty well. Nothing was discussed on wage, which is still unclear to me what to be looking for.
Oh, okay, great. So let me help you on that. All right. But let me, before I help you on that, just real quick with what you said, how do I know, Ken, if I get into it and it's not what I think? Well, because you ask all the questions. And so right. So you need to also start talking around town. Sioux Falls, I was there the summer I spoke. It's not that big a town. You can find somebody that works in that company that you just interviewed for today, or you can find somebody that you know that knows somebody over there, and you just make the connection and say, what's the culture like over there? You need to find out those answers so that you don't walk into a place that looks really great and then there's roaches everywhere 3 weeks in. So that will help address that fear that mm-hmm. you're talking about. Now, as far as pay goes, if they come to you with an offer, that's when you're going to find out, you know, what they've got budgeted for this. And there's not a whole lot of negotiation at this point. They know what that job pays. They got a good idea. There might be a range. So here's what you do. You need to go do some research on someone of your experience. So how many years have you been an admin assistant? So you got your experience, then you've got what specific skills that you have that are probably above and beyond what the average assistant has. So these might be some technology skills, software skills, things of that nature. And you go online, and that information's out there. It's not difficult for you to find, Emily, certainly somebody being administratively gifted like you are, to get a good idea of what the range is. And so I'm making this up. But let's say the range of salary for someone of your experience as an executive assistant or admin assistant, whatever it is, and I think there's a difference there in my mind, but you mm-hmm. go out there and you look for that, and if the range is, and I'm making this up, $50,000 on the low end to $65,000 on the high end, then you go, okay, now I know from multiple sources out there that this is the market range. This is what the market pays. Now, what that means is that if the company offers you something and it's between that range, well, you know that they're not lowballing you. That's the market range. And now you decide, can I do it at that low range, or do I need to tell them, appreciate the offer. It's certainly in the range, but it's on the low end. With my experience, where I'd want to go, I want to be closer to the 65, the high end. And let's see how they react. That's about all you can do here. You know, you're not going to get into a much of a negotiation with these companies. And so they go, okay, that's fair. She did her homework. She knows this is not, you know, this is a very intelligent lady, and she's told us what she needs. So the question is, can we do that? This is very simple. Don't overthink this, but do that and be intelligent about what the market bears for your position, or at least a range, and then be very direct and be willing to walk, by the way. See, that's the power in this. You can't mealy mouth this one. Well, I could probably do 50, but I'd really like 60. No, that's not going to work. You got to go, hey, I can't do 50. I got to be closer to the high end of that, which is 65. And so I got to be closer to that. I can't do anything in the 50s. Be very clear. And then let the chips fall where they fall. Don't move. This is the Ken Coleman Show. More coming right up. Hey folks, Ken Coleman here. Do you want to make more money to do what you love with the people you love? Have you ever thought about bringing in more income by selling products on Amazon? I want to introduce you to Seth Kniep, the founder of Just One Dime. Starting with a single dime, Seth built a multi-million dollar Amazon business, and you can do it too. With 126 staff and Amazon expert coaches, Just One Dime has trained over 10,000 people from around the world, many of whom are now multi-millionaires. Their award-winning online training, along with personal one-to-one mentorship, will walk you through the entire process, including opening your Amazon seller account, building your brand, selecting a profitable product, finding the right supplier, launching your product, and marketing and managing your online business. If you'd like to learn more, schedule a call today by going to jod.com/Ken Coleman. Again, that's jod.com/Ken Coleman. running alongside of you as you chase down the dream. I'm Ken. This is the Ken Coleman Show. 844-747-2577. 844-747-2577. A different kind of talk radio show. It's time we had a talk radio show that actually talks with you about something that matters to you. And that is your meaning, your purpose. We all long to do work that matters. It is doable. It's not too late. It's not going to cost as much as you think. It's possible. It's not a big myth of luck. It's not the lucky lottery of life. It is intentionality. And we're going to help you figure out who you are, what you want to do, and how to get there. 844-747-2577. 844-747-2577. Let's go to Kelly, who is on the line in Birmingham, Alabama. Kelly, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, how are you?
I am living the dream, Kelly. How can I help?
So I've been an elementary teacher for 2 years, and before that I was studying health and fitness science and just didn't know what to do with it at the time. Mm-hmm. And right now I'm about to move, and I have the opportunity to switch back into that career, but I'm curious, my question is it too early to leave teaching? I've had some bad experiences as a teacher, and I just don't enjoy it. It doesn't give me the juice, as you say, and so I just don't know if it's a good time to leave or if I should get more experience in a different environment in the new state that I'm moving to.
I think the question is, do you really want to be in the health and fitness area? Is that something now, having a little bit of time and perspective, that you look at and you go, I think I'd like to be teaching and instructing in that space as opposed to the classroom? What's the answer to that question?
Yes.
Uh-huh. I knew it.
So I've been listening to your show, and it gets me jazzed. And I did the proximity principle, and I reached out to old professors, and they've hooked me up with people in the new state doing health and fitness stuff. So
yeah,
I have the step.
Yeah, what did it? Have you actually talked with any of those folks?
Not yet, because it was a little far out. But now I'm getting closer, so I'm going to try and set up dates to meet with them as I move up there.
What would be the thing, just for fun, don't overthink this answer, just tell me, what would you be doing tomorrow if I could snap my fingers and you're back in that health and fitness space? What would you be doing during the day? What would be, as we like to say, the juice?
I think it would be educating them in wellness and health and fitness, and just teaching them about what they need to know to be better.
Teaching who?
Better health-wise.
Who?
Probably young adults.
Where are they at? Where is this happening? Is this in a classroom setting, or is this at, where is this happening? I don't even see this yet. It's not in a gym. You're not doing personal training. This is teaching. So where are you teaching?
So I've thought about doing it in like a community college in a smaller teaching setting. Uh-huh. So students who want to do this as their future, or I've seen a lot of like the corporate wellness directors where they go around and they educate you and they set up the events.
Yes.
To get the people out and doing things like that.
Way to go, Kelly. You just gave me two viable options and so don't wait to go ahead and make the connections that the professor is connected to you. But in Birmingham, I'd like you to try to go to coffee or go to lunch with somebody in both of those positions you just mentioned, because that's the proximity principle as well. That's being around people who are doing what you want to do and in places where it's happening. So even if you could audit a class at University of Alabama, Birmingham or something like that, like that's a no brainer. And if you do that, it's going to only clarify and verify. It might clarify, I don't think I want to do the classroom setting. I think I want to do the corporate route. Or it might say that both of them would be viable options for you. But go ahead and let's get confirmation that those two are something you would actually be really, really excited about. Those two options.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is exciting. You can do that in Birmingham now. Okay?
Okay.
Yes, go, go, go. And listen, I want to hear back from you. When you step into this role, I want you to call back in and do your dream scream if you want. If not, you can just email us an update. That's fine, too, because I want people to hear these stories. I mean, this is exactly why we do the show. It's for the Kellys. You had a passion. You had an inkling. You walked away from it. You tried something else. You realized this is not necessarily the right environment. Now, Kelly, I want to encourage you on something so that you don't have any doubt in the days ahead that can overrule you, because you'll have doubt, but I don't want it to overrule your heart. What's interesting to me is you're not leaving the teaching field. You're just leaving the education field, but you're still going to teach, most likely, because I look at training as teaching. It's the same thing to me. So I find it interesting that you shifted from one field to another field, but you're doing the right thing in the wrong place.
Yeah.
But this isn't some complete out of left field idea. You're still instructing. That's really what we've talked about the entire time. So I just wanted you to see that. But instead of instructing elementary school kids who have the attention span of a gnat, you know, you got people who really want to get healthy, right? And and they're there because they want to get healthy. And so that's an audience that is hungry, literally, sometimes, right?
Yeah, and, absolutely.
And so that, see, that's really beautiful. So good for you, Kelly. Thank you for the call. I love that. Let's keep it going. Let's go to Lila, who joins us in Cincinnati, Ohio. Lila, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. Can you hear me?
I can now. What's going on?
So I recently started a new job. It's part-time. I've always ever worked full-time in large organizations. And this is a part-time job in a very small company. And it's just not quite what I was expecting or hoping. Mm-hmm. And I was wanting to know when it's okay to call it quits and or how long to stick it out before making this determination.
Yep, this is super easy. Do you need this income, this part-time income? Is it a part of keeping you guys afloat or keeping your personal?
Yes.
Okay, so the answer is you leave as soon as you replace it. As soon as you replace it. So you start looking today, Lila. And we want to replace or increase your current salary or your hourly, whatever you are. Okay, so you're part-time. So whatever that number is right now, you want to replace that dollar for dollar or increase it. And the minute you find that work, you're out. Don't feel bad at all. You don't need to feel like a jerk. You're a part-time employee. It's not what you thought it was. You got a life to live. You got stuff to do. You feeling me, Lila?
I am. Is there any good way of exiting without burning bridges?
Yes. Be really nice about it and offer 2 weeks. Be very classy. How would you want someone to leave you, Lila?
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. Do exactly what, there you go. You do what you would want someone to do to you. It's the golden rule. You know, just come on, folks. Think about this stuff. If you were in their shoes, how would you want to be treated? And the answer is, you answered it, honesty and class. Hey, this just isn't the right fit for me. Don't make it about them. You don't need to criticize them in any way, Lila, because it's not about them. It's about you. It really is. You know, the old breakup line, it's not you, it's me. You know, we never bought that in a breakup. But it really is true in this situation, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so break up really nice. But please don't do the fake tears. I've talked about this on the show before. I had a gal, to this day it irritates me. She broke up with me in the parking lot, in my car, when I was in college, broke up with me and was weeping. And I'm sitting there going, wait a second, you're dumping me and you're in tears? I never bought it. I didn't believe it then. I don't believe it now. I should have been the one crying. And it's like, wait a second. Just say, I don't want to be your girlfriend. It's not for me. We aren't a good fit. You treated me really nicely. You're a classy dude. I'm into somebody else. That's what happened, by the way. If anybody wants to know the rest of the story. I mean, like within like, I think it was 24 to 48 hours. After the tears, I see her on the arm of some other dude. Yeah. So here's the deal. Just be classy. Look, this isn't a good fit. Really appreciate you. You've been good to me. And I'm not doing you any favors if I stay in a role that's not a good fit. I'm moving on. And don't do the fake tears. Not that Lila's going to do that, but maybe I'm still holding on. Maybe just a little bit of bitterness. Just a little bit. I don't know. Good news is, anybody who knows Stacey Coleman knows that I hit the absolute spouse lottery. So, bygones are bygones. So fun. Don't move. More calls coming up. This is The Ken Coleman Show. Hey, Hey, folks, Ken Coleman here with you. When it comes to looking for a job, most people would probably agree that the whole experience is not fun. But it doesn't have to be this way. ZipRecruiter gets it. In fact, they've actually figured out ways to make the job search process better and easier. And candidates who are invited to apply on ZipRecruiter are nearly three times as likely to get hired. So what are you waiting for? Sign up for free today at ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. It's absolutely free. Put ZipRecruiter to work for you. Shining the light on your path to fulfilling your purpose. I am Ken. This is the Ken Coleman Show. So excited to have you with us. Oh, we're new, folks. Well, we're not really that new. Been doing this thing nationally on Sirius XM for a couple years. Now here we are on your radio station, and boy, oh boy, are we having fun. Different kind of radio show. This is talk radio that's going to lift you. How about listening in to other men and women who are in similar situations that you're in? They're sick and tired of being sick and tired of going to work on Monday. Enough is enough. They want to get on purpose. They want to do the work that they were created to do and live the life that they were created to live. 844-747-2577. Let's go to Brandon, who's on the line in Omaha, Nebraska. Brandon, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken. Thanks for having me on. So my deal here, I worked in government for 7 years, working for some state senators as a legislative aide. I am the casualty of elections, which is fine. And my boss lost her election last fall. Mm-hmm. So I really just want to get out of politics completely. Mm-hmm. You know, right now, it's such a terrible time for that anyway. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a good time to move on. I've always wanted to write. I want to do something creative. And I do have a book. I got about 100,000 words to it. I still need to do some work on that. And there's no guarantee with that.
What kind of book is it? A novel?
Yeah. So I'll tell you a little bit about it real quick. It's called Pockets of Time. It's about a nickel that travels through different people from 1940s to present day. And it's about all the lives it touches. So,
oh, okay.
Hey, I think a good story in that would be Ken Coleman in Atlanta trying to break into radio.
I'm telling you.
Can I write you into that?
Sure, man. Go for it. You know a lot of the story. If you've read my book, The Proximity Principle, it's right there for you to lift it.
The question is,
and let's be okay dreaming for a moment. If you could be a novelist, is that the be-all, end-all, or you're not quite sure?
Yeah, I think I would love to just sit down and do that. I got plenty more ideas. The other part of this, I struggle with bipolar disorder. And during unemployment, that's caused some family issues, but that's a separate thing. But whatever I find in the meantime, I've applied for like copywriting jobs, stuff like that.
Yeah, good.
I need it to be really conducive to my condition where I can have my routine in place and, you know, not be so stressful, you know, as like government was for me.
Of course.
I'm having problems finding what I can break into, and I've been trying to use that proximity principle. It's just that my experience doesn't seem to line up in my degree. I have associates in broadcasting, and then my bachelor's is leadership.
Yeah, but the associates in broadcasting plus the experience of your political work, where I assume you did a lot of writing, what was your position?
Basically chief of staff, legislative aide, so I would
On the federal level or state level?
State senator, state level.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I want you to know that I think you're selling yourself short. You said you're trying the proximity principle. I don't know what that means. What does that mean? What does that look like? What have you done so far?
Yeah, so I've been networking, of course, through government, all my work there. I got pretty strong contacts. I think maybe I just need to be more patient. I don't know. For example, I've even got to the link. My uncle's ex-wife's brother is a CEO, and he connected me with a job agency. So, you know, I'm hopeful maybe something to come out of that yet.
What do you mean by job agency? Temp agency?
Uh, he, I just got the email earlier this week. So I
yeah. So hey, so it, so just, Brandon, you've listened to me on the show for how long?
Probably last 6 months or so. I've been driving for Amazon. You keep me company throughout the day.
Okay, good, good. Well, I appreciate you listening, but the reason I ask you the question is because you know I'm kind. But I'm going to have to be, I'm a very kind guy. I'm not in this to use callers like you as props so that I can entertain. Okay?
Sure.
All right, that's my qualifying statement. I think you know what's coming.
All right.
You
can lay it on me.
I'm gonna hit you with truth because you need to hear this. I'm going to give you some practical stuff, but I think we need to reset your mind here. You're not truly using the proximity principle the way it's supposed to be used. You can't even tell me what your uncle's brother's second cousin once removed, whatever that thing was. Good on you that you made the connection, but you can't even tell me what it is and why it is. I think you're too passive, and I think that you're scared, and I think that this is all very new to you because you've been in the political world, and I get it. I was in that world, and you're just terrified. You've got the polar stuff that you're dealing with. That's real. And so that creates some limitations in your mind because of the realities of what that causes. But you were very successful as a chief of staff with that challenge. So I don't see that holding you back at all. You're mindful of it. So let's be clear on that. But let's move past that. That's a crutch. Number two, you're not really truly using the proximity principle. The proximity principle says in order to do what Brandon wants to do, he's got to be around people that are doing it and in places where it is happening. You want to be a professional writer. Now, there's two ways to go about this. I'm going to keep this simple. One is to finish the novel and submit it and see if you can get it published. Go do your research on J.K. Rowling. Why don't you look up her story? Now, I'm not expecting you to be her. Okay, that's once in a generation type success. But the fact of the matter is how she got in it and all that is very inspiring, and you could do that. So you got that. Sure. You're going to have to build your novel reputation on the side. But you got to have a full-time gig. And it would be better if you were in a gig where you could, A, be writing, or B, be some involvement in leadership because you were a chief of staff. And so it could be a day job that it's not your dream job, but at least you're in leadership because you've led people before. Or you're in a role where you are copywriting and you're using your proximity, all these relationships to go, hey, this guy's good with words. He's a good writer. He's done political writing before. He can do this kind of writing. But you've got all these connections, ridiculous connections, and you're not working them hard enough. You're not setting yourself out there to go, look, I want eventually write novels. So I can either go all in and starve and do unemployment and cause all kinds of issues there, or I can go get a really good day job that's still in my sweet spot, meaning it's using what I do best, and you know what that is, to do something that you enjoy. So leading people, leading issues. So maybe you're, leading a team in a nonprofit, you know, or another state agency. So it's not politics, it's bureaucracy. But you know that world. I just think you're making this thing way too difficult and way too complex. Here's what you need. You either need a job where you are writing every day. And by the way, that means you got to get around people who are writers. Okay? That's what you got to do. Or you get in places, you start hanging out with people, you get in places, companies that hire writers. This is very simple. So that's what you got to do. Or you say, you know what? I've got a lot of experience and it's fairly impressive resume given the fact that I was chief of staff for a state senator. People still raise their eyebrows at that. That still makes people stand up a little bit and go, oh, very impressive. And so you just got to get a day job that will allow you to pursue the dream job. Because I'm telling you right now, being a successful novelist or professional writer that's not a copywriter working for a company, but working for yourself, that's going to take time, which, by the way, that's another avenue. Could you do some things online where you are contract for hire doing writing? That stuff's available all over the place. You could do ghostwriting. I mean, stop making excuses and start making appointments. You want to overcome the fear and overcome the sludge, then the more activity, the more appointments you make, the more opportunities are going to show up. Don't make excuses, make appointments. You have way too much going for you, way too many relationships for you to still sit around and keep drawing unemployment. So get busy. And I'm all for you, Brandon. Okay? But you got too many excuses going on. And those excuses are feeding your rationale for not being more aggressive. That's the problem. You know what you want to do? Get after it. Coming up, more of your phone calls. Folks, you matter. You do have what it takes. Let's figure out what you're supposed to be doing. This is the Ken Coleman Show. It is a safe place for you, America, to talk about what it is you were created to do. This is a scary topic for so many people. It's just fearful. Because if you let yourself begin to talk about, what am I created to do? Because I don't think I'm doing it. That means some change could be in the near future. And few things lock us human beings up like change will do. Oh my gosh, it'll make the chest just feel like there's a 50-pound plate just sitting there on your chest. And it's scary stuff. I love when people call in and say, I don't know what my passion is. I go, yes, you do. And we're about ready to get it out. So give us a shot, shall we? Talk and just learn about you. And before you know it, you're going to make the connection. 844-747-2577 is the number. Let's go to Sammy, who's on the line in Costa Mesa, California. Sammy, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. How are you doing?
I am living the dream, Sammy. How are you?
I am good. Been better, I must say. I've kind of been in a transition the past year or so. I'll just give you a little background. I went into nursing school after it being a dream of mine, you know, my whole life. I was in nursing school for a year when I figured out that it just was not for me. I did not like the day-to-day work of a nurse, and it just was not what I pictured it being, you know, which is fine. And I kind of had to redirect and was positioned in a point where I had to figure out what was next. Tried to, you know, jump right into something else, another medical profession. I got into it and I just had to stop and think. I'm just rushing into things based on salary and what other people are telling me. And I need to focus on what I really want. So I think I'm just a little confused right now.
Yeah, I understand. Well, let's get some clarity. So what do you know? What are you confident in? And even if you feel half confident, I want you to act confident with me because you're in a safe place and we're going to get you some clarity right now. What are you confident about that you know you have a passion for, work that just fires your soul up?
I'm confident in what's always interested me is giving people advice and giving people counsel, whether it be, you know, just general life advice or what they should do about a situation in their career, you know, with relationships. I've always been that person in my friend's life and others that they say they feel most comfortable talking to about this stuff that I have, you know, I enjoy talking to people as well about what their next path is and sure. All of that. I like things that just make sense, like science and math. Like I'm very into like an answer, finding that answer and it, you know, is the only answer it could pretty much be, you know, I'm not a big artsy person. Mm-hmm. I do like helping people, but it's not as hands-on in the medical field like I had thought before.
Gotcha.
But I know it's still that.
So you know what I think? I think that what you thought might have been nursing, which I love, you went out and kicked the tires. You know what else I love? Because I want to encourage you. Is that you had enough guts to go, nursing isn't for me. And you know, there's this common phrase out there that quitters never win and winners never quit. And it's not necessarily true. The great winners in life have quit many things that they realize they shouldn't be doing. So good on you, Sammy. But I think the thread here is that you really love solving problems for people. And you thought it was medical problems, but that's not your jam. And what you really love is when someone comes to you with a relationship problem or a life decision that they're facing, and you like diving into that with them with the purpose of solving that life problem or relationship problem, much like you do a mathematical problem. Am I right?
Yes, spot on, yeah.
All right, let me ask you this. Let's just do some more confirmation. If I interviewed all your friends and close family members, former teachers, coaches, whatever, and I said, tell me what Sammy does better than anything else that she does. Give me the top two or three strengths, or maybe she's developed these strengths into real skills. What would those people say to me?
They would say that I'm a compassionate person, that I am a good leader, that I'm independent, that I'm organized, you know, very task oriented, and that way I like lists and I have, you know, goals and set that way. And when I put my mind to something, I can do it. And that I love just education, learning, like researching, learning something new. Like mm-hmm. that's the kind of stuff that I'm kind of known as, I guess, in my family and friend groups.
Oh, tell me more about that.
I mean, it's because I'm obviously pretty young. I'm 24. So, like, I haven't had a lot of, like, life experience and, like, in the fact that I've had this job for, you know, 10 years and that was my skill, you know. So, I'm still in that point where I am discovering what that is in a mm-hmm. sense, you know. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, besides that, like, I'm, you know, I was into bodybuilding for a while. I've been to fitness. I love, I guess, just things that require discipline and fixing a problem and getting to that goal. Like, I'm very yeah. oriented in that way.
All right,
so,
now,
I'm just trying to
let me switch.
It out.
Yeah, that's okay. Let me switch gears. And I want you to just answer without thinking. Do you understand? Because we're not holding you to this. This is a process. We just happen to be doing it on a radio show live, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But knowing what we've just talked about, what problem do you most want to solve? If I could just give you a nice salary right now, more than you're making right now, or that you've been making, and I said, you get mm-hmm. to pick the problem that you're helping solve for people, what would be the problem that you get most excited about? Go, say it.
I would have to say, like, their relationships or mm-hmm. their something involved in their life and the things that make them happy and the things that make them passionate. Like, mm-hmm. I enjoy that, thoroughly enjoy that.
Okay. So, you're 24 years old, and you've mm-hmm. got to get clarity before you can help others get clarity. But you've been listening to the show, and you've got a construct here. But what you have to continue to do in your homework, because you're really, really close, And this is what you have to figure out. You have to figure out what problem and what group of people you got to begin to see them. And you got to, because you just gave me a nice answer. It's a good answer. It's not complete enough. You've got to drill down deeper and say, well, okay, relationship problems. Is that marriage problems? Is it, you know, abusive relationships? I'm more tied into that. People that are dealing with some of that. What moves your heart? Because there's a clear pathway once you discover for yourself who you most want to help and how. Because the listener in you, when people come to you with their relationship problems, just your friends, and they share it with you, and then you give them some advice, and they light up and say, oh, that's really good, Sammy, and they walk away, how does that make you feel?
Yeah, that does. It's like something that ignites in me that fires me up, like yeah. for sure.
Yeah. And I think that part that you like about research and things like that, I think that's a pathway where you really dive into psychology. And I just wonder yeah. if you need to kick the tires over the next 30 days looking into the study of psychology and how it fits into counseling and let it just, you know, kind of surround you. It's almost like you're sitting in a hot tub, you know what I mean? And you're surrounded by all things, you're chilling out, and you're just surrounding yourself by psychology, the types of counseling jobs, what people do with a psychology degree. Just let your brain run for a little bit within the context of, you know, that to this point in your life, Sammy, the thing you enjoy more than anything else is counseling others about relationship issues. So then you have to look at that. Okay, what's that path look like? What degree am I going to need to be a licensed counselor? And I think somebody who was willing to do nursing school, I think it's a shift. Now, I'm not willing to say that this is exactly it, but I think it is in the area of some type of guidance. Let's just call it that. I think you like being the guide and helping people solve their problems. Because at the end of the day, in this role, you need to understand something, Sammy. Even in my role, I can't do anything for you. I can't. I can give you advice. You can give counsel. I can give counsel to people. But at the end of the day, they've got to do what they know they need to do. I can illuminate. I can suggest. I can point. But I can't do. So I think you have to sit back and say, who do I really get fired up about? I think you know the answer to that, but just confirm it after you have surrounded yourself with what it's going to take, because it might be a 4 or 5 year journey. But see, you can do it. You're willing to do nursing school. So you have to, you know, get to a point over the next 30, 40 days. I think you can. Do I want to use my talents, what I do best, to be a counselor? Whether it is guidance counselor for students, or it is actually a, you know, an actual licensed clinician, you know, who can give people the advice they need, and you spend your life diving into that. I think you're really, really close, but that's what you've got to do. And as you begin to do more and more research, you're in stage two. I think you've got the discovery. I think it's research. What's it going to take? What are the multiple different pathways? What are the multiple careers that would allow me to be, at the end of the day, forget title, forget who you're guiding, but you're a guide, a counselor. Our time is almost up, but before I let you go, you do matter, and you do have what it takes. Thanks for joining the conversation. Until next time, this is The Ken Coleman Show. Press on!
Thanks for listening to The Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following at Ken Coleman.
Hey folks, I want you to check out our other Ramsey Network podcasts like The Dr. John Deloney Show.
Hey good folks, this is John, host of The Dr. John Deloney Show. On this show, I talk to real people just like you who are wrestling through relationship issues, mental health challenges, annoying people. We're talking about anything and everything. I am here to walk with you, and it starts now.
Subscribe to The Dr. John Deloney Show wherever you listen to podcasts.